You're listening to the British Baseball Podcast.
Yeah, so I mean, basically, my Team GB journey kind of started with a combination of things. It was Jordan Serena was my high school coach.
Yeah,
he's from Parker, Colorado. So he's a a GB senior guy, former minor leaguer. Kind of where I even got the idea that playing for Team GB was even a thing. I didn't really know that was on the table. So he was kind of where I got that idea. So it was always kind of in the back of my mind. So then, you know, as I started playing college baseball, I got very Twitter savvy, as somehow almost all of us who are baseball fans end up doing. And I ended up, you know, kind of coming across J-Rod and, you know, some other Team GB guys. And I ended up reaching out to J-Rod. I was like, hey, I have a British dad. You know, I play baseball at Northern Colorado. Is there any chance I could send you over some video, or, you know, could you put me in touch with someone who would maybe be able to point me in the right direction? So, I mean, it all kind of took off from there. And I think about 365 days later, I was in Verona. So that's kind of where it all started for me.
That's really cool. Yeah. I was going to ask you about that, because I noticed when your Twitter profile, you've got the Welsh and the Scottish flag on there as well.
Yeah, so my gran is Welsh. She is from Pembrokeshire, kind of small farming area. She has seven sisters down there. And then my grandpa is from Scotland, Glasgow. So my dad was born and raised in East Kilbride, just outside of Glasgow. So
I've
been there.
You
know, I get over there, you know, every two or three years, and it's you know, a strong part of who I am. So, I mean, that was my reasoning for playing for Team GB was, you know, when I'm standing there playing next to all those guys, I'm representing my family and people who mean a lot to me. So that was maybe the coolest part of even getting the opportunity to play for Team GB.
That's fantastic. I want to take you back in time a little bit before we discuss some of your GB stuff. So tell us a bit more about yourself and how it was, how you got first involved in baseball.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely been a long journey. I really started out, so, you know, my dad, Scottish guy, obviously never really played baseball, didn't really know anything about baseball. My mom grew up playing a little bit of softball. She's from Seattle. So she kind of, you know, played a little bit of Little League and things like that. But, you know, apart from that, it was basically watching Rockies games and watching YouTube videos that kind of got me into baseball. So the Rockies made a World Series run in 2007. And, you know, I was seven in 2007. My seventh birthday, all I wanted was a ticket to the Rockies World Series. And so me and my grandpa sat in the very last row of Coors Field back in 2007 and watched them lose in extras to the Red Sox, which was brutal, but
that's it.
That was kind of where it all started. And then from there, I was just kind of obsessed with baseball. And, you know, me and my brother were always playing wiffle ball, always doing whatever we could just to play baseball.
Yeah. Your brother also made the GB on the 23 squad as well. Have you got like a sibling rivalry there? Do you push each other on, or is it quite amicable?
Yeah, I think we have always definitely been very competitive. Whether it's wiffle ball or basketball or literally anything, whoever can drink their water the fastest, it's literally that kind of sibling rivalry. So in some ways, you know, it probably annoys my parents, because we'll always come in from basketball fighting about something, or, you know, something like that, like brothers do. But, you know, at the end of the day, we push each other to be a lot better. And, you know, that's kind of part of the reasoning that we're going to college together now. He's going to be an incoming freshman at Northern Colorado this year. And I think we're both looking forward to that, because, at the end of the day, we both make each other better baseball players. So I'm really looking forward to that.
What's the most ridiculous thing you both competed against each other in?
I don't even know if this counts as competition, but we used to have a trampoline in our backyard, and we had this big yoga ball.
Yeah.
And we would run at each other and see who could knock each other further back with the yoga ball.
When was the last time that challenge was done?
It's been a few years now, and it probably should stay that way because
let's
get seriously into each other now.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, just land on your arm and that's it. It's like, oh, what have I done?
Definitely.
That's really cool. So you've now made yourself into college. And like you said there in the intro, you went straight over to the under-23 tournament in Verona. GB finished second in the group, just behind Italy, who came third overall. What are your memories of the opener against France? You pitched, you were the starting pitcher for the tournament. Can you talk about your memories of that day?
So, I mean, it was a very bizarre pitching experience for me because I wasn't really nervous just because of how friendly all the guys were, because of how comfortable all the coaches made me feel. Connor Brooks, the pitching coach for the team there, you know, gave us a very in-depth scouting report that made me feel like I had faced these batters probably 10 times. J-Rod, Drew Spencer, both of those guys are really good at moral support. So, I mean, they kind of told me, go out there and play your game the way you know how. And that's really all I did. In my preparation for that game, I remember sitting through Connor's scouting report before the game. And I was, you know, at first I was writing everything down. I was kind of, thinking, this is how I'm going to pitch to this guy. This is how I'm going to pitch to this guy. And at the end of that, or about halfway through the scouting report, I think I remember thinking to myself, you know, I respect these guys. They're talented baseball players, but I'm going to put down the notebook and I just got to show up and play my game. And, you know, these guys will take care of me and I'll take care of them. And I think that really speaks to the kind of chemistry that we had on that U23 team. I don't think by any means we were the most talented team in that group. We probably weren't even the second or third most talented team in that group, but just the friendship and the closeness of the team allowed us to go out and play those games like you do when you're 10, 11 years old. It's all fun. I think that's a testament to the coaches. That's a testament to the players. But when you get a group of, 30 odd guys together and they're all best friends who keep in touch together for almost a year afterwards within 6 days of meeting each other.
Yeah.
I think that says something about how special that group was.
Yeah. Who did you get on well with straight away? Who's the person or player or coach that made you feel the most welcome when you rocked up to camp?
Man, I mean, that's hard. Because I think one of the guys that I was closest to, or maybe two guys, were probably Freddie and Miles Jansen. Mm-hmm. Just because those are two, I mean, it was my kind of first time playing for Team GB in any regard. And those two guys are kind of a little bit more veterans, have kind of played for Team GB more than I have for sure, and knew the guys, knew the coaches. And they were really open and welcoming to me. And so I think I was close to them just because they, you know, kind of helped me take the pressure off myself and just treat it as another baseball game. So, I mean, we're also both about the same age. We get on really well. So, you know, those guys really helped me open up a little bit and helped me have fun.
Excellent. What's the best piece of advice that you got from the coaches or players?
I don't know if it was so much explicit advice, but it was more J-Rod walking me through. So I don't know if you've heard about this, but J-Rod has these kind of affirmation things that he does before we go out and play a game. And so for probably 15 or 20 minutes before we would go out and play. After our like our scouting report, we would have a team meeting, and J-Rod would play these sounds, I guess. I can't remember exactly what he called them, but it was basically sounds with the words "we are nasty," like just over and over again. I mean, they probably played for 15, 20 minutes, and you know, all of us were kind of sitting there like, whoa. And then, but then we started kind of taking it serious, and it kind of became a mantra for our team. But it really helped me learn, you know, you don't have to go blind into whenever you're going to play. That, you know, premeditation kind of thing has helped me a lot. And it's something that I took kind of back home to Northern Colorado and into my season. Just actually mentally preparing myself before my starts. I didn't exactly do the "we are nasty" thing, but I did start to meditate a little bit more and kind of visualize my success before my starts. And I really think that helped me a lot this year. So that was probably the lasting thing that I really took away from that.
You made your final GB appearance in the bronze medal game against Italy, which ended in defeat 8-1. Can you talk about that day, and also how did you recover personally from the defeat?
Yeah, so I mean, that was a hard moment, because I think a lot of us felt like we got so close, and you know, at that point we had seen so much support from people back home and things like that. So that was a hard moment for us, I think, because we felt like we were capable of, you know, winning that game or even potentially making it to the championship at that point. Or I guess, yeah. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you have to, with baseball, it's a game of failure. And I mean, you can't get too hung up on things, even when they leave a really salty taste in your mouth. So, I mean, that was a really hard stretch for a couple hours. But after that, you know, Drew kind of talked to us after the game, and he was like, I remember him saying, you know, "I'm so proud of you guys. But most importantly, I want you to take away these friendships and these memories from this experience." And I think that helped all of us get over that. To some extent. I mean, we still have that taste in our mouth a little bit, but you know, we can still be proud of what we did. We can still be proud of the way that we represented British baseball. And so, I mean, you kind of have to look at things honestly, and you have to really be honest with ourselves. And we couldn't get too caught up in the fact that we lost to look over what we actually accomplished. So, I mean, I think that was the first time that we had medaled at the European Championships in a long time. Definitely close to pretty much everyone on the team's lifetimes, I think. So it had been definitely a while. And I think that we were all proud of what we accomplished. And we were proud that we set a foundation and some expectations for our team going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you can definitely be proud of your achievements. I mean, all of us watching back at home can attest to that. It was a fantastic series. I mean, coming fourth out from the teams that you played, Italy twice, the Czechs, the Dutch, the dreaded Dutch. I'm guessing you're aware of the history between GB and Holland.
Yeah, we were. Anyone who hadn't played on the team before was made very aware of the history and the kind of the mantra that we had going towards the Dutch when we played them. So they did a good job of drilling that into us.
Yeah. They're a good outfit, the Dutch. I suppose as well, what we're talking about, the under 23 tournament, I'd have to ask you about the ridiculous shirt night. What did you wear for yours?
So I actually wore one of J-Rod's shirts, and it was, it's like a collared shirt. It's kind of maroon with like these little kind of diamonds on it.
Oh no.
And it's something, but you know, J-Rod said it was his classic all-timer party shirt. So I pulled up in that and, you know, I still have the shirt. So,
oh my word.
Yeah.
I suppose we won that back at some point.
We'll see.
So you currently played now in University of Northern Colorado. How is it going for you at the moment?
Good. You know, I think this last year, I really felt like I made a lot of personal strides. You know, getting a starting job after having a lot of success out of the bullpen and kind of working my way towards changing my mentality from being a reliever to being a starter, really helped me learn a lot about myself as a pitcher. It helped me be more in touch with what I really need to be prepared to pitch. When you're in the bullpen, you kind of just adapt to the game. You know, you're always kind of ready to go in and you have your certain things that you do, but you know, sometimes you do a little bit more warm-up, sometimes you do a little less. It's never really consistent. But as a starter, it kind of allowed me to figure out exactly what works for me, kind of find a routine, stick to that routine, and have some consistency just from outing to outing and have things to build off of.
And while we're talking about college stuff, we've got one listener questions coming from Angels in the UK Twitter account. Great people that run that. And they've asked, does Ian have any tips for young baseball players in Britain in terms of planning a route to play baseball in college or uni level in North America?
Yeah, so I love this question, and I think it's an awesome one. I think that the first thing that I would say is make social media your best friend in terms of marketing yourself as a baseball player. We are in a day and age now where you can video yourself and you can video yourself doing a bunch of very measurable things that compare to anyone. And you can take a video of yourself doing that. You can use that as a tool to market yourself. And I would, you know, strongly suggest that as you do your training and as you, you know, start your recruiting process, if you're looking at doing that, I would utilize video. I would utilize social media, Flatground on Twitter. They you know, retweet a bunch of recruits, things like that. And the second thing I would say is lean on the British Baseball Network. I mean, there's a lot of guys, whether they be coaches or guys who have ended up in the UK for some reason or another, that have connections back in the US, whether it's, you know, JUCO, D3, D2, D1, NAIA. There are so many opportunities to play baseball. And if you work hard and you show up every day, I think that there are plenty of guys in Britain that can end up playing college baseball in the US or wherever it may be. There's so many opportunities that we just need to market ourselves and lean on the kind of network that we have built, because it is a strong one. I mean, there's plenty of connections. It's a pretty close-knit community. So maybe if someone doesn't know exactly what to tell you, they might be able to point you in the direction of someone that they know that might. So if you're a younger guy, you know, get on Twitter if you can, get on Instagram if you can. Emailing is not completely old-fashioned yet in terms of recruiting. But I think the last thing that I would say is be consistent. If you are, you know, shooting emails to a college coach, some of those guys are getting hundreds, if not thousands, of emails a day. So if you send them one email, you might not get a response. It might just go to their junk mail. They might not, you know, catch it, whatever. I'm not saying email them three times a day, every single day for 3 years, but you know, if you email them one time and you don't get a response, try again. And just keep leaning on that network, being persistent. I think there really are opportunities for British guys to play over in the States. And I think there's a lot of guys that are more than willing to help you out too.
That's cool. So that's like helping a lot of people with their goals and ambitions. So what about yourself? What are your current goals and ambitions?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm at the point where I'm going into my fourth year of college baseball, third full season. My freshman year was COVID. So I'm at the point now where I kind of know what it takes to be successful as a college baseball player. I know what it takes to have success from week to week. And I think my biggest thing this year, this coming season, I mean, is to probably develop a third pitch, which would be a changeup for me. I have kind of fiddled around with it previously. And, you know, I have had some success with it, but I really want to establish it this year. And I also want to be a force in the Summer League, which is the conference that we play in at Northern Colorado. I really want to kind of establish myself as one of the top pitchers in that conference. And I feel like I'm capable of doing that if I work hard and show up every day. So
yeah,
I would say that's my goal.
Yeah. And go get it. So what did you do then during that COVID season? How did you keep yourself fresh and prepared?
Yeah. So, I mean, this, the COVID season was, in hindsight, for me personally, one of the better things that could have happened to my college career, strictly, you know, baseball wise, not anything outside of that. But I got the ability to play in like 12 games, I think, or at least I only played in like four of them, but I got to be present for 12 college games. And I think I got to see what college baseball was. I got to get some baseball experience, and then it actually ended up not counting. And so I just had another year to expand on what I learned, get bigger, get stronger, things like that. So, I mean, in terms of staying in shape, me and my brother, by some stroke of luck, that the Christmas before COVID happened, the only thing we really wanted was a squat rack in our garage between me and my brother both. So that was kind of like our only Christmas present was a squat rack.
Yeah.
And so we actually got that the Christmas before COVID hit. So when COVID did happen, we kind of had some, at least the ability to keep working out, keep ourselves in shape. And then in terms of throwing, we actually ended up building a plyo wall. So we have a plyo wall and a squat rack in our garage taking up most of the room. There will probably not be a car in that garage until me and my brother are both done playing baseball, but it was worth it because I think both of us, you know, kind of pushed each other over that COVID stretch quarantine. You know, I was lucky that I had my brother to be able to quarantine with and, you know, play catch and do things like that with. So I think both of us came out of that quarantine period better baseball players, even though we hadn't been playing during that time. You can still do a lot by yourself. You know, take priority of your goals. And even if you're not on a baseball field, you can still be doing things to better yourself as a baseball player.
Yeah.
So I think we were really able to maximize that and figure out what worked for us.
Cool. So I guess the next question is, who can squat the most?
You know, this is definitely the subject of debate because it really is very, very close. But I think I have my brother beat for now. So at school, we really don't back squat that much. So we kind of measure this more by front squat.
Yeah.
And I think I put up 325 for one rep this year. And I think he put up like 315 for one.
Wow.
So it probably won't be long until he overtakes me. If he hears that, no, he didn't. But, but it is very close and we keep pushing each other, but I think for now I still haven't beat.
Sounds like you're learning a lot from each other, but is there any sort of particular athlete or coach that you've learned the most from?
It's a blend of two people. I would say the Serena brothers collectively, I've known them since I was probably 8 years old, and they were my high school coaches. They kind of, you know, I was in touch with them through camps, growing up through youth ball, and they, you know, kind of molded me and my brother into the baseball players that we are. So I got to give them a shout out for that. And then also my high school pitching coach, Dylan Moritz, he really taught me what it meant to be a pitcher outside of the baseball field. So he kind of taught me what it meant to, you know, lift and to do plyos and to have a routine that's not just pitching. So he really taught me that, pitching is actually more like 70% what you do outside of the actual game and 30% what you do in the game. So he's been huge in my growth as a pitcher as well.
That's cool. Have you had the chance to mentor anyone yourself? Apart from your brother?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think my brother would have been the easy way out on that one. But I don't know about one person in particular, but so we do youth camps at UNC. So we probably do 5 or 6 a year. And I just love doing that. I love being involved with kind of our local community and the younger kids that are wider part of Greeley or the Northern Colorado area. So, I mean, those guys, a lot of them show up with relatively little knowledge of what it takes to really be a baseball player. And so I love just seeing their kind of raw joy for the game and helping them direct that towards bettering themselves as a baseball player. So I love working around younger guys just because they have so much passion for the game and they really want to better themselves. And it, at the end of the day, it kind of helps me better myself too, because I think about the passion that they have.
That's cool. Yeah. I get a real kick out of, I've just started helping out a Manchester baseball club with the kids on a Wednesday evening. And I've started taking my little boy. He started when he was 4. And he's, yeah, like I said before, he's just turned 5. And just seeing him, like, big smile on his face when he just catches the ball in his glove. And there's the other kids as well. There's one little boy yesterday. I think he was 5 or 6. He was a small kid. And he caught the ball 3 times in a row. And yeah, every time, like, grin like the Cheshire Cat. It's like, yeah, this is just great.
The biggest smile, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, you know, especially when you get to the level of baseball that I'm at, sometimes baseball can feel kind of monotonous and business-like and pretty black and white. And sometimes you almost catch yourself losing sight of the reason that you started playing baseball in the first place. So working with little kids like that, that just genuinely enjoy when they even hit the baseball or catch the ball, or, you know, even watching them run to the wrong base when they're running, yeah, when they're running, you know, that kind of stuff makes you remember why you started playing baseball in the first place and helps you kind of get back in touch with your inner kid, which at the end of the day, baseball is a kid's game. And if you're not in touch with your inner kid, then it's going to be hard for you to be successful long-term. So it's awesome.
That's really sound advice. Yeah, it is something. So it's like, I'm at the point now where when I miss a Thursday session from my own training, if I've done something on the Wednesday with the kids, I'm all right with it, because yeah, I just enjoy it so much. I mean, like seeing him, like you said before about the base running, he's got a massive head, my boy. And even with like the helmet on, just seeing him running around, he looks like Toad from Super Mario, his big hat wobbling around everywhere.
Yeah,
just running down the first baseline. Oh yeah, 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 it's brilliant. Absolutely. Love it. So let's talk then a bit more about this, like your chance to give a shout out to some people. Who would make your Mount Rushmore of baseball?
Okay, I think to answer this question, I probably have to start with Todd Helton, just because without Todd Helton, I don't think I ever would have even started playing baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was a huge part of that 2007 World Series run. I mean, he was our star, our hometown hero for 10 plus years. I think he played 14 years for the Rockies. So I think, you know, him getting, you know, him doing what he did for the Rockies really helped me get into baseball. And so I think he has to be on my Mount Rushmore just because I don't think there would have been any baseball for me without him. After that, I think I have to go with Jackie Robinson just because, I mean, obviously what he has done for the game and what his legacy has done for the game is incomparable. I mean, there's no one that kind of has that legacy that he does of breaking the color barrier. And that's, you know, that's the best thing that has ever happened to baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he has to be up there for me too. After that, Randy Johnson, he was kind of my personal pitching idol, even though I kind of grew up a bit after his career. Growing up, I'm 6'5 now. I'm not as tall as Randy Johnson was, but growing up,
no one's as tall as Randy Johnson.
Exactly. But when I was growing up, you know, I was always really tall and I grew pretty early. I think I was 6'2 going into high school, and my driver's license went from when I was 16, I was 6'4, 154. So I was always kind of tall and lanky. And so, I mean, I always kind of looked up to Randy Johnson, you know, with the power fastball, the devastating wipeout slider. You know, I'll just find myself on YouTube watching highlights. I probably watch him blowing up that bird like 3 times a month, not going to lie. But I think he is just so fun for me to watch because he just blows the ball by people and then just completely makes him look silly with his slider right afterwards. And then I think the final person that I would have on my Mount Rushmore is Nolan Ryan. You know, debatably, but in my opinion, the greatest pitcher of all time. I mean, I go through and I watch his no hitters probably a couple times a year. Sometimes when I have time, I just sit down and watch him. And the way that he is able to just dismantle hitters and blow anything by him and throw exactly what he wants, where he wants, with next level stuff is just so fun to watch for me. And I think he was just so far ahead of his time in terms of being a power pitcher.
Yeah.
I just love watching him, even though I was born 10 years after his career ended.
That's cool. It seems like you're very passionate when you talk about baseball. I love it. Just how important is baseball to you?
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, baseball has really helped me find out who I am. It's been a part of my life since I was probably 5 years old, T-ball. And I think just growing up through the game and having hardships and successes and learning all those life lessons that you do when you play baseball has helped me grow as a man and a person. So I think it really is important to me because baseball is kind of my community and it's the way that I've grown up and learned life lessons. And, you know, I'm just really passionate about it. Like you said, I talk about it passionately because I am very passionate about baseball. I love, you know, watching the Rockies. I love watching MLB Network. It's pretty much the only thing I watch. So I think that passion for baseball has really fueled my career just because day in and day out, whether I'm having a really good pitching outing or, you know, a really bad practice or something like that, at the end of the day, I'm just happy that I'm playing baseball.
Do you have a specific jersey number that you insist on having? Is there any special meaning behind your chosen number?
So I have two really that I used growing up. I actually didn't get to choose a jersey number in college. I just kind of wear the one that fits me best. But growing up, I always wore 17 when I was younger. And then when I got to high school, I wore 51. So 17 is Todd Helton and 51 is Randy Johnson.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those guys are kind of like my idols. And I just, that's why I chose those numbers.
That's cool. Yeah, I've gone with 17 as well because it's the day and year that my little one was born on. So it's like he's with me when I'm playing.
Yeah.
Even when he's not there. That is pretty much all that I've got for you, Ian. This has been great to have a chat. I'll do a sign off and then don't go. We'll have a chat afterwards. So it's tradition on the show to let the guests have the final word. So the floor is all yours, Ian. Any shout outs you want to give? Any last parting advice?
I think the last thing that I would just end with is to the entire British baseball community. Just I think they have been so welcoming to me, and they do a really good job of making everyone in the community feel comfortable. And, you know, it's a tight knit community, but I think that's also a huge strength. You know, we continue to grow the game across the pond. We continue to make our sport bigger and better, you know, as we're always striving to do. We're trying to find those resources to grow the game. But I think, you know, wherever baseball goes in Britain, you know, in the future, I think our biggest strength is that we are a small fraternal community that kind of has that bond, and we push each other. We have fun with each other, and we're welcoming of everyone. So I think that as we move forward in whatever British baseball looks like in the future, I don't think we should ever lose sight of being that accepting, open community. And I think they do an awesome job of that already.
Yeah, indeed. Oh, there's one thing I was going to mention before with his Scottish roots from Glasgow. Yeah. Scottish baseball is quite a big thing as well. And there's a fantastic podcast called Ball Caps and Bagpipes dedicated to Scottish baseball.
Yeah.
So John plays, who's one of the hosts, he plays for the Comets. Yeah. So would you be Comets or Galaxy? Glasgow Comets or Glasgow Galaxy? Put you on the spot.
Oh my gosh. I feel like I'm going to get in trouble for this, but.
Yep, that's why I'm putting you on the spot.
I'm going to say Comets.
Good lad. There you go. John, I'll be happy with that one.
I'll have to come out sometime. Next time I'm across the pond, I'll have to, you know, drop Baseball Scotland. And
I'm sure you'll get a fantastic reception from them.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Ren Quantrill, that was part of the East Way Free Sale Up as well. He's based up in Edinburgh.
Yeah, Ren and I, we talk a decent amount. You know, we stay in touch. He was on that U23 team too. And it was, you know, me, him, and my brother were the kind of the only people with Scottish roots. So we were all pretty tight-knit after that. So, you know, Ren's a great guy. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for all baseball in Scotland. So
yeah,
I'm very passionate about those guys up there, even though I haven't really met them or anything, but they're a huge part of who I am and why I do what I do. So they're always kind of in the back of my mind, even if I haven't really met them.
Yeah, that's cool. Right, Ian, that's been fantastic. Thank you very much for your time, and good luck in the future, and hopefully we'll see you out there on the diamond.
Sweet, thank you.
Tara.